It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 127 of the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Autobot Robichaud.
Mr. Autobot, who did we speak to today on the podcast?
Well, I'm an Autobot today, Bruce, because we talked to Nathan Freeman with Group Business Software, and we talked about their forthcoming database transformer tool that many of you have probably heard about.
Right, the Evolution Transformer, which takes your Notes client applications and transforms them into XPages Notes client applications and or XPages web applications through this process that they have. Nathan talked about a lot of the things that a lot of the questions that came up on some of the blogs from some of the podcasts and so forth, and he does a really good job of answering them all and answering some of the questions that Julian and I had for him. So should we dig right into the show, Julian?
Yeah, let's go for it. It's about 45 minutes of just questions and answers, so hopefully any questions you have should be answered there. And if they're not, then we've got some links in the show notes to Nathan's blog, and I'm sure that you can ask him in person. But there's a bunch of stuff here coming up, so let's just listen.
Yep, techie goodness.
Yep.
On the podcast today, we have back Nathan Freeman from Group Business Software. Nathan, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Julian. It's good to be back again.
Yeah, and today we have you back to talk about
the Evolution Transformer, which is our forthcoming technology to take Notes applications and put XPages front ends on them to allow them to run in the XPages runtime on a Domino server.
Okay, so you guys have developed a product called Evolution Transformer that's essentially going to take all of a company's or a portion thereof of their Notes apps, their Notes client applications, and it's going to specifically do what, Nathan?
Well, it takes the existing Notes app and it breaks down everything about the original design into constituent parts. And it looks at every design element and every node within them, every piece of at formula code, every piece of Lotus script code, and turns them into XSP, XPages objects on the other end. So it brings over all of the UI and layout structure of your original design, and it brings over all the business logic that you have embedded in fields and in buttons and in code libraries.
All right. Well, one of the kind of obvious questions here is why is this something a business partner is doing? Shouldn't this be something that IBM is doing for us?
Well, one might say that IBM ought to be doing it. And I really can't speak to what their job really is. But I can tell you that we wouldn't be able to do it if it weren't for IBM. So we're getting a huge amount of support from them. And we wouldn't be able to do it if there weren't such a thing as XPages as well. The nature of the XPages support in Domino 8.5.2 really helps us do this modernization of the user experience and make these applications become web browser accessible. And there's just no way that could have been done without an enormous effort from IBM in introducing this XPages technology. But we're glad that we have the opportunity to help customers move forward that way with our product.
I look back through history and there were several other vendors, I think including Microsoft, right, with their Red Bull product that have tried to convert, you know, in your case, it's from Notes to an XPages app, but they've tried to convert, you know, apps from Notes to, you know, other like Microsoft technologies. In fact, I think there were some other business partners who've attempted this in the past. So my question is, what makes Evolution Transformer so different from those failures of the past? I mean, what's so different about the technology that it's going to literally take my Notes database that I have here, or my Notes template, whatever, and convert it into an XPages app?
Well, the first thing to understand is that we aren't converting to another platform, which is what everybody's tried to do in the past. In fact, even calling it conversion is something of a misnomer, because we don't convert anything you've already got. We're adding an XPages layer and XPages features to a new application based on your existing design. So we don't do anything to alter the existing design that you have in place. All your forms and views and frame sets and stuff, they're still there in the template that we produce. We just use them as the basis to also add XPages capabilities. And because XPages are a domino-based technology, we don't have to touch anything that isn't directly related to what we're trying to do with the XSP. So we don't have to change anything about how your data is stored. There's no attempt to convert your data structures into an RDBMS or anything like that. And because it's all kept in the NSF, you get all the great features that we've grown used to in the NSF architecture. So security and workflow and replication, they're all still there and they all just work. If you have server-based data integration, we don't touch that. Your schedule agents, we don't mess with those. So the risk of the process is dramatically lowered. It's very easy to back out. You're not doing anything to touch your existing data. And so we feel very confident about that part of the process. We also think we have an advantage in the terms of the level of notes knowledge that we bring to the table. I mean, the dev team we have working on this has something like 200 years of notes development experience collectively. So it's a lot easier to figure out how to automate moving from point A to point B when you invented point A in the first place.
Well, and just to clarify, when you talk about this is using Domino technology, what part does the whole extension library architecture play in this?
Well, the extension library has been crucial to what we want to do with the resulting applications, right? Part of the reason that we work so closely with IBM when they even started thinking about putting that together was that it represents a lot of the notes client behaviors that people really needed within XPages. So ideas like a dialogue box or a calendar view is absolutely crucial to being able to support a converted application. So the extension library is very much at the heart of what we're doing with the transform applications, and you need it when you get the results. But I should also point out that there's some additional group-supported runtime plugins that also become part of the process. So you install these plugins on your Domino server in order to support the transformed applications, because we're including additional components that aren't even in the extension library to support things that are specific to transformed apps, like frame sets. Right? Frame sets aren't something that someone would typically do in an XPages application when developing from scratch, but when you're transforming one, you need to be able to support that move from one over to the other. And that runtime team has its own permanent development team, and they have a long-term roadmap about, you know, what they're going to be doing to enhance that runtime capability in the future. So it's not like we're bottling everything into the transformer process itself. The transform process gets you the XSP, but the XSP is all rendered by the XPages runtime, and we have the ability to manipulate that on an ongoing basis. So we're looking forward to being able to add features to that and get features from IBM as they continue to evolve the server platform.
So we're talking about notes applications being converted to web-based applications, XPages applications. So my question is, the users who are using these apps in a production environment on their notes client, right, are going to have to switch over to a web browser going forward when they're transformed, after they're transformed, Nathan?
Well, they're free to continue using the notes client and use the XPages in the notes client technology that IBM has provided with 8.5.2. So there's not a requirement that you actually switch to a web browser. We think that, you know, a lot of our customers are talking about, well, the reason they want to do it is because they want to be able to support browser clients. But certainly we have talked to customers who say, well, we want the modernization of the experience by having it become an XPages app, but we still need offline support. So we still want to be able to replicate the application, and we want to run it as an XPage in the notes client. And we absolutely support that decision and support that method of deployment. So there isn't necessarily a requirement. Additionally, you have the ability to control how you enter the application when you've provided the XPages front end differently from a notes client than from a web browser. So you could, if you had a subset of users who do very specific things that require the notes client, and then a set of users that you want to move to a web browser, you can run the process, get your web browser front end that works like the notes client, and have that be your browser entry point, and continue to have the rest of the users using the notes client the same way they always have. So there's a lot of flexibility, because in the end we're just delivering a template, and we all know all the kinds of crazy things that we can do with notes templates to really fine tune the behavior.
And here, when you're talking about notes client, you're not talking about X pages in the notes client. You're talking about whatever the original application was, right?
Well, you could do either one, right? So the resulting transformed application is supported in the X pages in the notes client model, but you don't have to turn that on. You could say, hey, let's say you have 1,000 users and 500 of them want to use web browsers and 500 want to use the notes client. And the 500 that want to use the notes client are perfectly happy with the notes client that they've been working with for the last 10 years. And they're familiar with it, and they don't want to mess with it, and they just want to continue using the notes client. That's great. If they keep coming into the same template using the notes client, as long as you haven't set the application launch settings for the notes client to move to the XPages interface, they'll work the same way they always have. But then you can say, well, the web browser should come in and use this XPage now. And the 500 that are now coming in via browser, they'll get the new transformed results. But because we're not altering anything about the data, so both of them can continue to work from both vectors, and it's all the underlying data is going to behave exactly the same.
Well, in terms of the transformation itself, now, you know, I think you've been very upfront about saying that this is not going to transform 100% of your application, that there's going to be some services involved and some manual, you know, pieces and stuff like that. So can you kind of break that down for us in terms of what's going to get done automatically or in an automated fashion, and what actually is going to require someone sitting down with a Domino designer and writing code?
So I had a conversation with my boss about this before we sat down to record, because I want to make something very, very clear. My objective is that it's 100% automation. Right. That's my team's objective. We don't want any services involved in this process, if at all possible. Now, the reality is obviously somewhat different, and we expect that, you know, there's going to be services involved. But everything that we do regarding improvements to our code base is with the objective of making it be 100% automated. So a good recent example is when we started working with customer applications, we had originally intended to say, well, navigators don't have a representation in DXL, so they're simply not supported. We don't convert navigators. If you have navigators in your application, you're just going to have to come into the resulting X page and do something to re-represent that. But we started working with customers, and what we found was there's a lot of navigators out in the world. Applications that have 7,500 navigators built into them, that it's just too much work to convert them by hand, and that becomes a stopper. So we decided, okay, well, you know, what would it really take for us to support conversion of navigators? And we went back and we looked at it, and we figured out how to decode the binary structure as it exists in the ODS. And we started taking on actually converting that structure into a page and then emitting the page design element as an X page. And this continues to go on. I mean, we're just going to keep doing this kind of thing, this kind of modification to the transform process, until we really are at 100% automation with full fidelity. Now, that being said, we know that there are going to be services issues. And what we find is that the part where services really comes into play is identifying what to do about pieces that are unsupported. So the process is actually two-phase. We first do an analysis on the application, and then we actually do the transformation. So the analysis gives you a report that tells you, here are all the things that will work, here are all the things that we know are unsupported, and then here are all the things that are iffy because they have ambiguous behavior. And the thing we find where services concentrates is figuring out what to do about unsupported or ambiguous behavior. And what we've found so far, and I really think this is kind of cool because we never really expected this. We expected that we were going to have to do the transformation and then do a bunch of modifications to the XPages app on the other end. What's actually happening is we're doing the analysis, identifying issues with the templates and fixing them before we run through the transformer. So when we identify that, oh, you have a button in the middle of this form that launches the Windows calculator through a shell command, because we know you're not going to do that from a browser perspective, so we don't want to leave that button in there. So we either take it out or we work with the customer to come up with a different way to approach that. But the short version is that we're making that modification before we ever put the thing through the transformer, and all of your note skills that you've honed over the last two decades are really what come into play when you do that.
Nathan, before you go on, the analysis portion of it, is that a service, a chargeable service that you guys offer, or is that just here's a database? Can you tell me, you know, for free, what the transformation may cost me?
Well, so I have to be cautious about this part because I'm not in sales. So I don't want to misstep about what I say. You know, my job is to make the code work. It's not to figure out, you know, how the relationships with the customer works. So yeah, I know that we're going to market with our customers with a couple of different layers of that message. So there is an application assessment concept where we come into the customer and we leverage the toolkit from Promessa to do a comprehensive analysis on how your applications are actually being used so that you can see which ones are relevant to move through the transformer. So that's one. Somebody might think that that's the analysis I'm talking about. It's not. That's a use pattern analysis. I don't know whether we're actually going to charge for the code template analysis. It is a process which can be separated from the transformation itself. But if Bruce, if you called me up and said, hey, will you tell me what wouldn't work with this database, odds are I would probably just go do it, right? And I would give you your report back. But that's not going to be how we permanently go to market. You know, that wouldn't scale very well. I do have to get work done once in a while. So if I had my way, though, there'd just be a website where you could go and you could upload a template and it would run it through the analysis process and give you the report back. And that aspect of it would be free of charge. That's my dream. But I don't know if we have a business plan to support that yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of questions swirling in my head right now because, you know, I've written a lot of notes apps in my days, and I know some of them are pretty hairy. They have complex user interfaces, and you know, they're cool, right? Most notes apps, you know, are very cool. They provide specific functions for a specific business process, or they offer a solution to something that's very critical to an organization. So being Bruce, I put a lot of work into my user interfaces. So we have this beautiful note app that goes into the Evolution Transformer. And the question is, what comes out and how much work, right, if any, will I need to do after the transformation to make it beautiful again?
Well, so the first thing to understand about the process is that our mission right now is fidelity, right? So when you put in a notes application that has a three-pane interface, you're going to get an XPages application that has a three-pane interface. We're not trying to necessarily create the ideal, perfect XPages app in and of itself. We want to create a result that your users will understand without any retraining, that behaves consistently with the way your notes client application behaved, and that is easy to work with after that. So I want to be, you know, very upfront about the user experience being exactly the same. We don't want people to have to get retrained in order to use the app. And if you make something that's then based entirely on, say, the One UI principles, then it doesn't necessarily look like the notes application they might have been using for 10 years. And that's where you get into the training cycle issues. As far as the actual styling and beautification of your application, I'll be honest, we took some knocks early on with some of our prototypes about the fact that, well, the result doesn't look particularly good. You know, it's everything's basically in black and white. And that led us to a couple of interesting decisions. The first thing is that we've added a bunch of switches into the process to allow you to turn on and off the degree to which you want to retain styling from your original app. So you can say, well, I like my form background colors, so keep those. Or you can say, I like all the choices I made with fonts. So when you emit the XSP at the other end, I want you to apply styles that maintain my choice of fonts, for example. And if you have done a lot of careful styling work in your original application, then we don't want you to have to redo that work. You flip a switch, we carry over all the styling. And that includes, you know, HTML attribute-based styling and CSS and all that other stuff. Alternatively, if you don't like the styling of your old application, we recently added a feature called auto-theming, where you can say, well, what I want you to do instead is automatically build a theme ID structure on the resulting application. And when I get that app, I can now create an XPages theme that applies whatever styling rule and twists around whatever property behavior I want at runtime on the resulting app. And the really cool thing about that is that because the theme would be common for all of your transformed applications, you can write one theme and apply it not just to a design element and not just to an application, but to an entire domain. So you put it on the your servers, you put it on all your servers, you tell all your servers with what to use as their default theme and deploy that enterprise-wide, and you have one set of styling that controls absolutely every application across the board, and you never have to go back and revisit those individual design elements again. So that's a feature we're really, really excited about. We think that's going to help customers out a lot. Obviously, the development of those themes is going to be on an ongoing basis. We're going to provide stuff internally, and I'm sure that customers are going to have very specific objectives in what they want to do, and hopefully they'll have the opportunity to make things look like everything else that they have in their corporate standards.
Mm-hmm. So, Notes apps, right? They use add functions, they use LotusScript. When an app is transformed, what's going to be on the other side? Because obviously we're not going to have add formulas and we're not going to have LotusScript in the user interface. So two questions really is what comes out, right? And what skills do I need to work with that on the other side?
Okay. So the first thing is there's two basic principles involved with actually, let me step back. There's three basic things going on. The first is we look at the DXL of your original application and we build XSP, and it's pretty much a one-for-one relationship. So if you had a table with three rows and two columns before, and then you had static text inside the left column and fields inside the right columns, you're going to get XSP markup that looks exactly like that. It's going to have XP tables and XP row and XP cell and so on. So we're very consistent in how we do that, and it's almost a one-for-one mapping. When you had at formula in your original application, we turned that into server-side JavaScript. So we've built a parser that breaks down all of your original at function code into an AST and then reconstructs it as server-side JavaScript. And a lot of that server-side JavaScript it retains the same syntax as the original at formula. So one of the things we did very early on was say, okay, well, there's a bunch of at functions in server-side JavaScript, but there's a bunch that aren't there. So we went and implemented a library that has like 150 more at functions that are now embedded in that library. And so when you get the resulting SSJS, there's a lot of things. There's things like at arctan2 that nobody ever uses, but it's in there, and we wanted to make sure that we were feature complete. Your LotusScript is parsed and then turned into Java. But I want to be clear about this. It's not turned into Java that looks line for line like your LotusScript does. It's actually a bit more elaborate in its structure because there's a lot of things that you could do with LotusScript that don't necessarily apply in the Java realm. The number one thing is that if you had UI behaviors in LotusScript and they operated in the Notes client, they happen synchronously. So you, if you have 10 lines of LotusScript and then the next thing is a dialog box, and then after the dialog box, you have another 15 lines of LotusScript, well, what really happens in the Notes client? It executes the first 10 lines, it gives you the dialog box, and then all of that ceases to process until you've completed the dialog box, and then it resumes back where it started. Or I'm sorry, back to the code after the dialog box call. You can't really do that with Java on an XPages server. Doesn't work that way. You would have to suspend a thread sitting on your XPages server, and it would have to just go to sleep, and you would be able to scale to like 10 users. So that's actually the trickiest aspect of the entire process, is that for @formula and LotusScript, which used to operate synchronously, it now operates asynchronously. So every place where you have a UI function, we cause that to send a response back to the browser and modify the markup, and the server considers the process complete. And then there's a callback point where it re-enters back into that code and restores all of the state that it had before that code terminated to be able to pick back up where it left off. That aspect of it is probably unique to the transformed behavior. And so that's a skill that may be unique to having to work on to maintaining a post-transformation app. If you're familiar with UI callback functions in something like Eclipse, then it won't seem very foreign. But if you're used to coding LotusScript your whole life, then this will be a new skill that you have to learn.
Okay, so let's say I've got a fairly simple app that's got, I don't know, 5 forms, 5 views, a handful of agents, and a couple of LotusScript script libraries. What do I end up with? What is the end result of going through the transformation process give me?
So for every design element that has a UI representation, we create a custom control and an XSP page. So if you had 5 forms, you're going to get 5 custom controls and 5 X pages, where the 5 X pages are wrappers around the 5 custom controls. And there's a simple reason why we do that. In the Notes client, a form could be represented as a structure of full contents within a tab, or it might also be represented as contents inside a frame. And we never know when it might be one case versus the other. So for all of your original design elements, we produce 2 versions, one that can be presented as a full URL and one that can be a subcomponent of some other type of representation. We do this for every view, every folder, every form, every subform, every page, and every frame set. For your script libraries and really for all your associated LotusScript, we generate Java files out of that, and you would actually get a specific class for each original script library you had in your application. So that's really what comes out at the other end. All of these things, again, are added to all of your original design elements. So it's not, you still have all the original pieces there. Oh, and I'm sorry, Julian, you asked about agents. Mm-hmm. We don't touch agents because agents that run server-side don't need any modification.
Okay. All right. Well, then after it's transformed, what if I want to change something? I mean, is that the same thing as editing a regular X page or a regular, bit of Java code or something like that?
Yes, it absolutely is. In order to do the build, you would have to install our runtime plugins in Designer, but we have an installation process for you. It's as easy as any update site. So, and that's just so that it'll have all the classes it needs to know about in the runtime in order to do the compile step of the actual template. You could just bring it up in Designer, make the modifications you need, and save it. And it just works, because what you're really getting, it's not like we're transforming the application into some block of Java code or some DRM'd executable. We're generating XSP. We're generating Java source code. So you get all of the original source code of the application, and it's just as if you sat down and wrote a great big complex X Pages app in Designer yourself.
Mm-hmm. So just for clarification, this is for pure play notes apps, right? Notes apps that have had Domino stuff added to it, Domino web browser kind of stuff, those aren't going to be transformed, correct?
Well, we don't touch anything that you've done that's web browser only. We didn't even look at those design elements.
Okay.
And it's not within our immediate scope to try to convert existing Domino HTML applications into X Pages HTML applications. And I think we have some pretty valid reasons why. I mean, if you look at the classic techniques for building Domino apps, there's a lot of commingling of data and code. If you think about how many times have you seen an app where there's a view column and the formula for the view column has pass-through HTML in it that includes escaped client-side JavaScript, at that point you can't just parse the template. You have to be able to go through and analyze the actual data that results in the application. You have to look at the view index and see what's really there and extrapolate what the behavior should be on the other end. And that's obviously a much more difficult problem than simply looking at some at formula or some Lotus script. Additionally, even if you want to parse that result, you're then going to run into the problem that it's going to be the rare notes application that actually has parsable HTML because it's XHTML compliant. And it's going to be the rare notes app that has all of its client-side JavaScript being able to pass JS lint. So you're going to be, you know, missing end-of-line semicolons and return statements and so forth. And if your app does, in fact, meet XHTML requirements and all your JavaScript passes JS lint, do you really care about moving that to X Pages? I mean, you already have a great Domino app.
At that point, what
do you need it for? You have a dynamite Domino app and you don't really need to touch it.
So what versions of notes can you transform back to? Like 2X databases, 1X databases?
Oh, I don't think anybody's asked me that question before.
This is taking notes.
So we support every feature that we possibly can at this point. It is possible if your application uses, say, layout regions, they don't have any DXL representation, so we can't necessarily get that extracted out. And we have noticed that if an application hasn't been touched in Designer for a really long time, then sometimes the internal CD record structure is out of sync with the modern versions, and it emits invalid DXL. We've seen that in like one or two applications where nothing was touched in the last 10 years. But the fixes are really easy because you just go into Designer and you open the design element and save it, and then you run the process again and it works fine. So we've been fortunate enough to find that. As far as what versions per se, there's no reason why we can't transform a version 2 application. And in fact, our test base for a lot of this stuff is that we've gone back to the old Lotus 911 dev server, and we pulled off every customer project that's been saved there for the last 15 years. And we're extracting all of those designs and doing the process against all of that. Another thing we did was we went out to OpenNTF and we downloaded every single release ever in the history of the site. And then we put all those templates through the process. And that actually helped us flesh out a lot of things that had to do with the language parsing and with DXL handling.
So what about all those people out there saying, you know, I'm not going to transform my app. I'm going to code it myself. You know, I need to learn X Pages. I need to retweak some of the app's features and functions because. What do you offer, or what do you have to say to those people who say, you know, screw that, I'm just going to write my own conversion?
If you're ready to make the investment in converting your applications to X Pages, we salute you. Right? Companies that are ready to invest in the newer technology and they want to train their developers and they want to make those investments, we think that's awesome. And people have said, well, I can do a better job converting it by hand. And our answer is, well, of course you can, right? We're pretty proud of what we've done, but I can't train a computer to be as smart as Matt White or Jeremy Hotch, right? A skilled developer who knows what they're doing is going to make a better application. There's no question. And if you're a partner and you have a customer who has 10 apps and they want to pay you to convert those 10 apps to X Pages, then great, go take the money, do the work, and I think we're all better off for it. If they have 500 apps and they want to pay you to convert 10 apps, we'd like to be considered as a candidate for the other 490, right? The objective here is to help customers modernize the app and enable web browser usage as an alternative to doing nothing, not as an alternative to refactoring their apps by hand, but as an alternative of not making the investment at all. And we want to make it much more digestible for them to be able to get the advantages of the X Pages capabilities without having to make these dramatic investments. Because when they have to look at dramatic investments, you reach the point where you have to start comparing that investment to other platforms, right? So if you're looking at investing millions of dollars to refactor your applications in X Pages, why not look at investing millions of dollars to refactor them to a cloud-based service or to a Microsoft platform or to the LAMP stack? So a lot of what we are trying to accomplish with this is to really lower the investment requirement by the customer so that they're empowered to stick with the Domino platform, so that there's a good financial ROI argument to stick with the platform and to continue forward with the X Pages technology. And we'd like to think that it'll really help the developer who's inside that organization protect themselves from facing these constant migration arguments by being able to say, well, you know, we can do this. We can get the modernized version of the application, and then we can go back. And the ones our favorite applications are the ones that we have the greatest amount of desire to really change the way they work. Now we've satisfied the user constraint of getting people moved to the web browser or whatever, and now we can take the time to go back and really do certain applications in just the perfect way. And we love that idea. We really want to help empower customers to do that. This isn't about replacing smart, talented developers who want to do this stuff by hand. It's about replacing the option of doing nothing, mm-hmm. or about replacing the option of firing all your notes dev staff and hiring an MS business partner to come in and do all this stuff, who then turns out to, you know, of course, never actually succeed.
Three more things for you. Number one, are you sure you're not in sales? All right. Number two is, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps besides my daughter?
Yeah, I mean this whole project, you know, it's an engineering a serious engineering challenge, and Lotusphere is coming up. So what keeps you up at night? And it's not me anymore. So,
you know, actually, it's probably, I take a lot of pleasure in writing code. It's, you know, designing good software is something that to me is fun. Designing software and writing code that'll do something that people never expect could be done is exciting. So if there's a piece of this project that I stay up late doing, it usually has something to do with some nuance element that's going to be really cool as part of the outcome, or something that we can do that just furthers the automation to make it less and less work to actually do the process. So a good example of that might be, we recently went through a cycle of empowering our sales engineers worldwide to be able to do demonstrations of the technology, which means I had to be able to set everything up to automate the plugin process and have a deployment to a local server and all that kind of stuff. And that was an interesting thing to go through, to maximize the automation of just the demo process. So it does things like the plugin has an embedded template in it, an embedded notes template in it that'll automatically create the analysis report for you if you don't already have it. And we did things like originally when we would output the DXL from the application, we put that into a local folder, and it actually wrote files, and now everything's been turned into streams. And so those kinds of things are the sort of thing I stay up late working on to do this kind of finishing polishing work. But now as we're looking forward to Lotusphere, a lot of the stuff that keeps me up at night is Skunkworks. So it's things that are well beyond the transformer that nobody will get to see until we get to Lotusphere.
Well, what if people want to see some of this stuff now? Now, I know you guys, you know, you did like a video, I guess, of kind of an example of how this all works.
Yeah, there's a video on the main GBS.com website that's down on the right-hand side where you can see the full presentation that talks about, you know, how we're going to market and then includes the entire technical demo. But for the people that I know listen to this podcast, if you'd like to just sort of jump right to the good part and you just want to see the technical demo, you can go to my blog. It's ntf.gbs.com. And I think it's the second post right now. And of course, by the time this airs, I'm sure it'll be moved further down. But I'll put a permanent link over on the right-hand side so that people can get to it. But there's a video that walks through five major aspects of the process. So we start by actually doing an app transformation and letting you see what it looks like in the resulting browser representation. And then we do a slightly more sophisticated app that was based on something developed in R3 and R4. And then we have a look at the analysis process. And then I do some fun stuff that has to do with modifying the original app and running it through the transformer again and letting you see the differences live. And then there's a little bit about being able to retain styling on your original application.
All right. Awesome. I think we covered almost 45 minutes or so of Evolution Transformer goodness, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it between maybe between now and Lotusphere, and probably a lot at Lotusphere. So, Julian, Nathan, thanks for your time today on the podcast.
Thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate it, and I hope this helps your listeners understand a bit more about what we're doing and answer some of the questions that people have asked out in the world.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure having you back on. And, Julian, any parting words or questions for Mr. Freeman?
No, I don't. Like you said, Nathan, I think people do have a lot of questions, and hopefully those are things that they'll be able to find answers for. So good luck with it, though.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to episode 127 of the Taking Notes podcast. Hope everyone is doing well, and we'll catch you next time for episode 128. We'll be right back.